Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Crosswalk Podcast. Today I'm going to be giving you a long-awaited for and anticipated sermon. As our listeners will know, I was supposed to give this sermon this January, but a lot of things come up in my life, got really hectic for a while. I wasn't able to do it. Finally, it's finally ready, so I'll be giving it to you today. Before we start, I have a couple things I want to mention. I know a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago probably now, I said that we'd be getting the articles on the website for the podcast in the near future. Those were supposed to come out a couple weeks ago, but that did not end up working out. I ran into some very complicated technical difficulties that have kept me from launching that part of the website. So hopefully by beginning to mid-July, those articles should be launched on the website. Sorry for the wait, it's just been kind of complicated. That's all we had for now. For announcements. So let's get into the sermon. The sermon is entitled, Serve, Sent, Set Apart, Living the Introduction. Our passage is Romans chapter 1, verse 1. It's a very short verse, but I think it has a lot that it can teach us. My 3 points for this sermon are number 1, serve the master, number 2, submit to the mission, and number 3, separate for the message. All right, so let's get into it. So Paul is a central figure of the New Testament. He started off as an oppressor of the church and a hater of Christians before he became face to face with the truth of God on the road to Damascus. After his conversion, he became one of the single most prolific missionaries and writers of the early church. Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, making up roughly 50%. He was used mightily by God. And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he wrote, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul set an example for us in his life and told us to follow him as he follows Christ. So today, looking at Romans 1:1, I want to just set up Paul as an example for us to follow in our lives. I'm going to take the example that he set for us. The way we're going to look at this is based on how he introduced himself. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 is literally just Paul introducing who he is and identifying who he is. And that's what I want to look at today. The verse says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That's the whole verse, but I think we can learn a lot from it. If you pick up a King James Bible like this one that I have right here, and you start reading it, just start to finish, the first of Paul's letters you're going to come to is the book of Romans. And we're looking at the first verse of that. So if you're just reading through the Bible, this is the first thing you're going to learn, see about Paul's writings. The first thing you're going to find is him saying that he is a servant of Christ, called to be apostle, and separated unto God. And those are the three things I want to look at today. Number one, starting with Paul when he said, I am a servant of Christ. So point one is serve the master. All right. The book of Romans is one of the most extraordinary books in the entire Bible. Throughout the book of Romans, Paul carefully builds a logical and scriptural argument for what's called soteriology. That's the doctrine of salvation. But before any of this, before he carefully crafts his arguments, before he delivers the truth that God has set for him to give us, before any of that, Paul starts, the first thing he says is, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. The Greek word here, I think it's like doulos or something. I don't know how to say it, so don't quote me. I could be wrong. And the word translated servant, doulos, literally means slave. Paul is saying here that I am a slave of Christ. And this isn't something that he only says once. This is something Paul stresses throughout his epistles. You'll find other mentions of him calling himself a servant of Christ in Titus 1:1 and Philippians 1:1. And in my opinion, in all of Paul's writings, this might be the most humbling statement you can find. Paul wrote half of the New Testament. He traveled across the entire known world, spreading the gospel and leading souls to Christ. He did more for God than I could ever hope to do in my years that God will give me. But at the end of the day, and after all these things, the most important first thing Paul wanted to get out of the way was to say, you know what? I'm just a servant. I am a servant who serves a greater master. He doesn't proclaim to be a prince or a king or some great ambassador. All he says is, I am a servant. Paul had surrendered himself to Christ and was unashamed of the fact that he was a slave to his master. Philippians 2:7 says, speaking of Jesus, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Well, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1 that I mentioned, he tells us to follow him as he follows Christ. Paul was a servant of Christ just as Christ was a servant when he came to earth. Christ took on the form of a servant. And as Christians, we should follow Paul's example and Christ in serving God. Some other people in the Bible who had this testimony of being a servant of Christ include Moses in Joshua 1:2, David in Psalm 78:70, the prophets in Jeremiah 7:25, Amos 3:7, and Daniel 9:6, the apostles in John 13, Peter in 2 Peter 1:1, James in James 1:1, John in Revelation 1:1, and Jude in Jude 1. So as you can see, clearly this point of being a servant of Christ is extremely vital, because something you should pay attention to is when something is mentioned more than once in the Bible. If God in his inspired word repeats something, that's something we should pay attention to. And throughout the Bible, there's a pattern that's repeated of the men that are used the most by God have this testimony of being a servant of Christ. Philippians 2:5-7 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal of God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The first thing we need to look at with being a servant of Christ is you have to be humble. That passage that I just read to you, what we learn is Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, who created everything you see around you, that God descended to humanity and humbled himself to live among us, his creation. That is the epitome of humility. Jesus was the most humble to anything ever. I mean, we were God's creation. And in case you don't know, in Genesis 1, we find out that humans very early on rebelled against God. And throughout the Bible, you'll find time and time again the Israelites turning from God and just living in complete sin. But God looked down on mankind that had done so much to hurt him. And he said, you know what? I still love you. And God humbled himself to come and dwell among us. We need to follow Christ's example and Paul's example of being humble, because that's the first step in being a servant of Christ. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." An important aspect of being humble is to put others before yourself. When you're faced with an opportunity to help someone else, you should do it, even if it means you will be losing out on something. Because true humility is saying that what I want isn't as important as other people. Because pride, that's how pride looks at yourself. Pride, when you're prideful, you put yourself on a pedestal and you say, hey, I'm above everyone else, and everyone should have to live to serve me. But when you're humble, it's flipped. To be truly humble, you say, you know what? I am a man, and it is my job to serve everyone else. Because being humble is the first thing you have to do to be a servant. Because once you're truly humble, then you're going to start serving others. Because you'll, as this Philippians 2:3 says, you will esteem others better than yourself. Being humble, however, also means you have to be teachable. Someone who's humble recognizes that they can be wrong and don't have all the answers. And so they're open to learning and they're open to rebuke. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Those who are humble are wise because they're teachable. They submit themselves to God's word and let it change them. We must come to God's word humbly, letting it teach whatever it's going to teach, not the other way around. Far too many people come to the Bible in pride. They'll come to the Bible to try to justify their opinions or their beliefs. But that's wrong. That's pride. That's saying that my opinion is more important than God's word. We need to come to the Bible with humility, saying, you know what? My opinions could be wrong, and if God's word says they are, that's what I'm going to accept. Because that's humility. I also, before I want to move on from this point of humility and being a servant of Christ, is that you have to be aware of false humility. Don't be humble just so that other people will think you're humble. Because far too many people are that way. They'll put themselves on the pedestal, and in their brain, they'll think, you know what, I'm better than everyone else because I am so humble. And they want people to see how humble they are, and they'll do all these great things that make people think, you know, they have the most humility, but they're not doing it for God. They're not doing it out of humility. They're, in essence, they're pretending to be humble out of the pride of their hearts. So be warned and be careful to avoid false humility, because that benefits no one. It doesn't benefit anyone. Another way we can be a servant of Christ, number one, we need to be humble to be a servant of Christ. Another way is found in Galatians 1:10, and this is one of the more important things I want to talk about in this sermon, in my opinion. Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." As servants of Christ, we must seek only God's approval, not the approval of man. There will be times when serving Christ means you will be rejected by the world and you'll be rejected by the lost people. Because the world doesn't like people who look different. The world doesn't like people who act different. They don't like people who convict them of their sinful lifestyles. If you follow Christ, they will not like that you act different, talk different, dress different, look different. They won't like that you're different from them. Because you serve a higher master. You serve God. You don't serve yourself. You don't serve the world like they do. So you're going to be different. And because of that, the world will not like you. Jesus said in John 15:18 that the world will, don't be surprised when the world hates you, because they hated Christ too. The world doesn't like things that are different. And that can be hard. It can be hard to live a life that's different from everyone else around you, with everyone else hating you for being different. That can be hard. And it's easy to want to seek the approval of men and to want to fit in. But the Bible's clear. If you're going to be a servant of Christ, if you're going to follow God, you need to live to please Him, and you need to, you can't care what the world thinks. If all you care about is what the world thinks about you, then you're not a servant of Christ. Because servants of Christ only care what God sees, what pleases God. Another way you can serve Christ, this will be a short one, is just to simply do what He tells us in His Word. John 12:26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." A crucial part of serving Christ is following Him and doing as He did. I won't dwell on this part for long because this is something that as a Christian, you should already know this. If you want to be a servant of Christ, you have to do what He says. And the easiest way to know what God wants you to do is to read the Bible, pray, and ask God for guidance so you can follow Christ, because that's the easiest way to be His servant. So that's number one, serve the master. Point number two, submit to the mission. In our passage, Paul says he is called to be an apostle. That's the second point, submit to the mission. Here's the thing about Paul. When he says he's called to be an apostle, he's referring to his specific calling. In the Bible, there's two different kinds of callings. There's specific calling and general calling. A specific calling is like what Paul had. He was specifically called to be an apostle. A general calling is a calling that is placed on every believer. Some examples I have here that I'll talk about a little bit are like to follow Christ and to witness to others. That's a general calling every believer has. But Paul had a specific calling. That's to be an apostle. Here's the thing about a specific calling or a general calling like this. Paul was called to be an apostle, but something about these is when God calls you to something specific, it's wrong, but you can ignore God's calling in your life. An example of this would be Jonah. He did eventually end up going to Nineveh, but if you read the story, he managed to avoid his calling for quite a while. God gave him a specific calling. God said, go deliver the gospel to Nineveh, but Jonah didn't want to do that, and he managed to avoid God's calling on his life for quite a while. And it might shock you how many people there are in the world who God called to be in ministry. God called to do something incredible for Him. But because they wanted to take the easy route, they didn't want to give up their sin, they ignored God's calling. There are so many people like that. In my life, for pretty much as long as I can remember, I felt that God called me to pastoral ministry. And you know what? That has been the aim of my life. Since that happened a couple years ago at a church camp, since I felt God called me to be a pastor, that's where I've been preparing for my whole life. But I could ignore that calling. I could change my mind and I could say, you know what, I'm going to go be a lawyer or something. I mean, Riley, we were talking about that earlier today. I could say, I'm going to be a lawyer. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to follow God's calling. I could do that. But God doesn't call us to do whatever we want. God gives us a calling, and that's where He wants us to be, as Paul followed his calling. But maybe you don't have a specific calling, such as like what I believe I have, or what Paul had or what Jonah had. If you don't have a specific calling, that's fine. Not everyone's going to have one. God doesn't give everyone a specific calling young in life, but everyone does have a general calling. And I want to talk briefly now real quick on this point of submitting to the mission, some of these general callings are for all believers. Because the simple fact is, not everyone's going to have a Damascus moment like Paul did. So the first general calling I want to mention is simply to follow Christ. I talked about this a second ago when it came to being a servant of Christ, you have to follow Him. When you're submitting to your calling, you have to submit to your call to serve Christ. Luke 9:23 says, "And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The first thing God calls all believers to do is to follow Him in our everyday life. And what this verse points out is it takes it a step farther than just saying, follow me. He says, deny yourself. Follow Christ to the exclusion of the wants of your flesh. Your flesh is going to want some bad things. That's obvious. Your flesh wants to sin. It wants evil. But Jesus calls you to follow Him. You have to deny your flesh. So that's the first general calling. Another general calling is to spread the gospel, Mark 16:15. "And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God calls every believer to spread the gospel. They have a call in their life to reach the lost and dying world. And if we want to answer God's call like Paul did, even if we don't have a specific calling, we need to answer and submit ourselves to these general callings of following Christ, denying ourselves, and spreading the gospel. Finally, on this point of submitting to the mission, as Christians, we must seek God's calling in our lives. You may not have a specific calling on your life, such as to be a missionary or a pastor, or as Paul was called to be an apostle. You may not have a specific calling like that on your life right now. But that doesn't mean that God won't give you one. There are plenty of people, we've had missionaries at our church before that have talked about how God didn't call them to the mission field until they were in their 40s and 50s. God can give you a specific calling at any point in your life, but you have to be searching for it. For example, also, a specific calling isn't just for ministry. I mean, God calls pastors and missionaries and evangelists, but God also calls lawyers and electricians and athletes. God can call you to anywhere he wants you. I've personally known people who are called, who believe that God was calling them and put a burden on their life to be an athlete or like in some other profession, that God can call his children wherever he wants them. So while you may not have a just specific calling, what you can do while you pray and ask God for guidance is to follow these general callings and keep seeking God and keep seeking his calling in your life. So that's number one, serve the master. Number two, submit to the mission. Sorry. Number one, serve the master. Number two, submit to the mission. And number three, separate for the message. Paul wrote in the end of Romans 1:1 that he is separated under the gospel of God. This final point comes directly out of the last two. We are to be servants of Christ, and a part of that is accepting God's calling for our lives. In order to effectively be a servant of Christ, or to effectively fulfill God's call, we must be willing to separate ourselves from the world to the message of Christ, because that's what we're supposed to build our lives around, is the gospel. This concept of separation has two aspects to it, and I briefly want to go over these two things as we come to the end of our time for this sermon. Number one, we must separate from sin. The Bible is clear on this one, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This verse is clear that as Christians, we are to be separate from the sinful world. What does that look like? Well, it's simple. It means that as Christians, we should be different from the world. We shouldn't be partaking in the same sinful activities. We shouldn't talk the same as the world. We should be different and separate. We shouldn't be living sinful lifestyles. I won't spend a ton of time on this point because that's pretty, I would say, basic in the Christian walk, separate from sin. But the second aspect of separation is something that a lot of people don't realize. Separating from sin, that's a big one. Another thing you need to separate yourself from that a lot of people talk about is separating from the appearance of evil. I mean, every Christian knows you're to separate from sin. You're not supposed to sin anymore. But 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And this is a big one. As Christians, we should separate ourselves from blatant sin, but we should also separate ourselves from things that look sinful or could harm our testimony. There may be things in your life that aren't necessarily sinful to do, but you still should avoid them because it looks evil or it can harm your testimony. An example of this is that, is it a sin to go to a bar and only drink water? I mean, like, not like Applebee's. I mean, like a real bar that serves alcohol. Would it be a sin to go there and drink water? No, drinking water is not a sin no matter where you are, within reason. But as a Christian, we should not go to a bar that exclusively serves alcohol to drink water. Because when you leave that bar, the people watching you there, the people that are there with you, the people that see you leave, they're not going to know you were just drinking water. They're going to think you were there at a bar drinking alcohol, and they're going to think it'll hurt your public testimony, and it could hurt them. So Christians shouldn't do that because it's appearance of evil. It's not necessarily a sin in and of itself, but we're not just to separate from blatant sin. We're to separate from appearance of evil. Finally, on this point of separation, though, is separating from sin and separating from the appearance of evil, those are huge. But that's not all we have to do, because you need to separate from sin, but that's not the final step. You also have to separate to something. This is where Paul's specific wording comes into play, because Paul actually in this verse doesn't say he's separate from sin. It's implied. Because he says he's separated unto the gospel of God. And that's exactly the perfect example we need to do. Because here's the thing. Getting sin out of your life sounds straightforward in theory, but I know from experience it is anything but. Because if you don't replace your sin with something else, you leave a void in your life where that sin was, you're going to fall right back into it. If you get rid of the sinful worldly music you've been listening to, and you just try to leave music altogether, you're going to fall right back into listening to the same music. You need to replace it with godly music. God-honoring music. If you are trying to get rid of maybe some really sinful movies and TVs that you've been watching, you can't just stop watching TV altogether. You need to replace it with entertainment that is God-honoring, that is acceptable for Christians to watch. Because if you try to leave that void where that sin was in your life, it's so much easier to fall back into it. You have to replace it with something. You can't just separate from the sin. You have to separate to God. And that's what Paul did here. Because, I mean, we hear a lot about separating from sin. That's a pretty common theme among Christians and sermons and podcasts. You hear that a lot. But it goes so much deeper because separating from sin isn't enough. As hard as that is to say, as hard as it is to hear, you have to separate to God. You can abandon sin all you want and it won't do anything if you're not following God. In heaven, you can live a perfectly sinless life, you do your hardest, you avoid sin, you separate from it, you do great, but you never accept Christ, you never follow Christ, it's going to count for absolutely nothing and you're still going to go to hell. Because we don't go to heaven based on our works. We're not judged based on what we didn't do. I mean, God calls us not to sin, that's important. But if you're not sinning to make yourself look good, that's not going to benefit anything. You need to separate from sin and separate to the gospel, separate to Christ. So in summary, we must follow Paul's example. Oops, sorry. We need to serve the master, submit to the mission, and separate to the message. I want to close with this. In Romans 1:1, Paul is introducing himself. Not with pride, not with titles, but with truth. He can honestly and factually say that he was a servant of Christ, that he had answered God's call, and that his life was separated under the gospel. So here's my question I want to leave you with today. If you were writing a letter right now, how could you introduce yourself? Could you honestly say, I am a servant of Christ? Could you say, I have answered his call? And could you say, I am separated to the gospel? As Christians, whether we're taking part in ministry or not, we all need to ask ourselves if we can truthfully introduce ourselves the way that Paul did, as serving, as submitted, and as separated. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray to thank you for this day, and to thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach your word. I pray that you'll just be with this sermon, and you'll just help the right people to find it. I pray that you will use this podcast and this sermon he's preaching, you'll help it to just reach lost souls for you and just benefit someone and bless them in their lives. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys. Before we go, I want to say a couple things that are coming up in the near future. Like I said at the beginning, the articles will hopefully be released mid-July. Sorry about the technical difficulties. A reminder that in August, we'll be doing an episode on Islam, hopefully. And then also in late August, my book on the King James Bible will be releasing. So thank you guys for watching, and have a good day.